Lord, we thank you for this morning that we can gather and lift up the name of Christ where there is no confusion. And we ask your Spirit this morning be with the words that we're going to speak to make them true to our hearts.
Yes.
And we thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So I've been doing this thing, and I even named it called the Order of the Wood. Order of the Wood. And I was messing around, reading in the Old Testament, and I'm not an Old Testament buff or anything like that. I was just reading, and I was reading about the tabernacle. I even called Hope about the tabernacle. I think we have one upstairs, you know, the one out in the wilderness, and they had to move it, and the perfection of how they built it, right? And then also, not just that, but the perfection of the sacrifices. You know, and certain sacrifices, I'm sure you'll have to read it to get it right. My interpretation is not perfect on that. But how some of them, they even took certain parts and they had to be washed where other parts weren't washed. Certain things were put on one side of the altar, if you look at it, because it even talks about a north side, a south side. I didn't know all that stuff, and I've been involved with the church my whole life. And I'm reading, wow, he's got a north side, a south side, right? So then, in Leviticus 1:7, I'm reading at the end of Exodus there, and I go into Leviticus 1:7, and I want to read this, because this is what I call the stepping off point, where I went, oh, here we go, right? 1:7, it says this, and I'm looking at all the perfection that they were doing in that tabernacle. The way they did the sacrifice had to be perfect. You know, and I thought, wow, that's crazy. If I was one of your priests, we'd all be missing a beat, because that is not my skill at all. I mean, like, I see, oh, I got to go over there now, you know, that kind of thing. So I would, and I kept thinking about that. And in Leviticus 1:7, and the sons of Aaron, the priests, put the fire upon the altar and laid the wood in order upon the fire. And I went, you got to be kidding me, God. What are you doing? And now we got to make sure the wood is perfectly laid in order on the fire. The wood's in order? I'm like, you got to be kidding. So I guess how many bonfires have we had this month? Probably five. Gathering wood. Stacking it in different orders. I'm just telling you how much I was thinking about it. And I'm stacking stuff and burning stuff. And we're doing it in different things. We're adding to see what it would do. And some things would be all smoky we did. But the wood would burn better in a certain order. And I thought, isn't that amazing? And even scriptures on even certain scriptures. So then I start looking at different woods, like the wood that the ark was made of. I might say it wrong. Gopher wood. There's vessels of wood. There's cedar wood. There's even weapons made of wood. All in the Bible, not other things, right? There's fir wood, and it talks of rotten wood. It talks of fig trees and all these kind of things that had to do with wood. And I thought, boy, isn't that amazing, right? Even it says, where there is no wood, there's no fire. That's a scripture. I didn't know that stuff. So unto me, I'm amazed at what I'm finding out about wood in the Bible. So I keep looking it up. And then I come to this one, 1 Chronicles 16:33. It says, the trees of the wood will sing out in the presence of the Lord. I'm going, whoa. So we live in the woods, and it's been windy. There I am, man. Hanging out with the trees, thinking, wow, what a spot to be in. The trees will sing out at the presence of the Lord. You know, and I thought, wow, what? And I'm thinking, okay, that's really good. So there I am swinging, swaying. I don't want to miss the presence of the Lord. If these trees have the ability to know they're in the presence of the Lord, wow, what a place to be. We don't want to miss the presence of the Lord. And I really like that part. So I started thinking about the order of wood. The order of, right? So where did I go? I went right to the beginning. And what day was it that the Lord made the trees? On the third day, he started making trees. And he started making, you know, wood and fruit hanging on the trees and different, all this kind of stuff. So here I am in the woods and I'm doing all this. And a little background, my dad would take me out and stand me to look at trees at times. And you guys know my dad. He said, God created that. He spoke that into existence. So I'm out here swaying with trees with this knowledge, and I'm thinking, wow, where do we fit in here? Where the order of wood? How am I going to do that? So we start looking at different things. And so I go to the beginning, like I said, on the third day. And that really struck me. My mind went right to that third day when Christ rose. Right? You think there's a coincidence here, you know? A coincidence? Yeah, like God doesn't know what's happening, right? And so life started springing up on that third day. Trees are coming. Fruit's there. Things to eat. And then where do we go? The next place to start tracing wood. I start looking all over the place. So I go right to the next spot is the Garden of Eden. And I love this because God planted the trees. Amen. Right? I'm thinking the Garden of Eden, right? Now God created everything, right? He's not just creating everything. He's planting trees, right? And not only did he plant the trees, right? There's fruit on these trees and there's all these different trees that we have. You know, tree of life. And we even have the tree of good, of knowledge, and of evil. And I thought, man, there's so much stuff I've learned I wished I could forget. You know, it still hangs with me. You know, I think, man, how am I going to, you know, where did that come from? Of knowledge of good and evil. But the good tree, right, and all the other trees. And not only did he plant them and he put Adam and Eve in there, he also had a river flowing through there to water them. So then he plants Adam and Eve in there, right, and they all have everything they need. God supplied everything. The trees, the ground it grew in, the seeds that it grew, to water. All you got to do is eat of the fruit. I thought, well, isn't that amazing? Way back then, God did all that for them. And we still chose the tree of knowledge and the tree of, you know, good and evil. And there's good knowledge. I'm not knocking all knowledge. I'm not. Because there has been some really good stuff. I wouldn't be standing here with my heart condition if it wasn't for some of the knowledge these people have over here that I went to. You know, and they've done a good job, right? But God supplying all our needs way back then, how he did that. You know, so the next thing we know, we're tracing wood now, the order of the wood. So now we have trees planted. We got a good tree. We got a tree that's not so good. And the thing is, what tree am I chewing on? What tree am I taking the fruit off of? What tree do I pay attention to? Which one am I watching? You know, who do I look to? You know, do I look to the tree of life? Or do I look to the tree of knowledge, right? And, you know, and I'm fortunate enough, I just don't have enough sense to know a whole lot. So therefore, it's to my advantage, you know. But the next thing we see, we go to Noah's Ark. And here we go again. God's building this, tells him, Noah, he's over 100 years working on this thing, right? But the order of the wood, it's got to be so big. It's got to be so wide. It's got to be so high. Follow the order of the wood. Right? Then he builds something on top of it. It's got to be so big. It's got to be so wide. The door has to be in a certain side. I don't know if it said north, south, east, or west, but I did try to find that. So there, and even the pitch had to be a certain way. There had to be layers for different animals inside. God's detail. I'm thinking, what the world is this? But now I'm going to the ark, and it's just a bunch of wood. We're building this thing, and I build some stuff, and I'm thinking, you order wood when I go to work. I'm cutting wood. I'm going, wow, that wood goes here. Here we go. Order wood. That wood goes here. Wow, that goes in this piece, that piece, and it comes together in the proper way. God had an order, the order of the wood. I started looking at that. And then I started thinking, that's cool. And then I read Abraham. Right? Abraham's going to sacrifice his son. Right? And then we see Isaac carrying the wood. The very wood he's going to be sacrificed on, Abraham hands it to him. And he says, oh, man. And so here's Isaac walking along with his dad, the wood he's going to be sacrificed on. Wow, I thought, that's amazing. He's getting ready. His dad's going to do that. And then they get there. He lays him out. He puts him on the wood. He's getting ready to sacrifice the son. And the son says, Dad, well, on the way up there, his son said, Dad, we got the wood. We got the fire. But where's the sacrifice? This guy's carrying the sacrifice. Doesn't even know that he's going to be sacrificed. And what did Abraham say? God will supply. He will provide a way. Do you believe that? Do you believe that today? Are you chewing on the tree of life with this fruit that's telling you God will provide? God will take care of you? Or are you going to look at this tree of knowledge that is confusing? And that's being nice about it. And it's a confusing place to be. I mean, I got people on both sides in that world that disagree with each other. Right? And good people. I'm not knocking the people. I'm just saying. So which one is confusing to you? Are you sure that God ever done anything in your life that you know that you couldn't have done anything about it? You know, and I had a man the other day talking to me about when he was young. He was 80. He told me a story about how God, he didn't know it at the time, but how God intervened and saved his life when he was a teenager. Right? Now he's 80 years old and he's thanking God. At the time he didn't know it was God, but now he looks back and sees God's hands in his life. We ought to have those kind of memories in our lives. Right? And Abraham did that. So there's Isaac carrying the wood. Right? And we see that Noah, I don't want to mess it up. So we see that we go from the beginning, the order of the wood. There's Christ. There's God creating trees for us on the third day. We see that we go to the garden, and we see those trees all in there in their perfect order. Which one to eat of? We see the Noah's Ark, and we see Abraham. And I'm thinking, well, there's got to be something in the New Testament that has to do with the order of wood. Right, so I start looking. I go in there, and because it said, I keep looking at it, and God is getting the wood in order. I'm thinking that's amazing. He's putting things in order. So I'm thinking in my life, is there certain things do I need to apply? Do I need to do something? Right, what do I need to do to straighten this out or do that about? And sometimes it's little tweaks, you know. And I can't say what I do would work for you, but I know what would work for you if you look to the tree of life. If you look to Christ, He is the tree of life, right? And so He does that. So I've started following in the New Testament. And I want you to remember the swaying wood. You know, the trees sway. They'll sway at the presence of the Lord. Because that ground that they're rooted in is what? The very ground God created. They know God's presence. They know when they're in the presence of the Lord. See, and that's the whole thing. And when I'm doing this, I'm thinking, God, I don't want to miss your presence. I mean, I'm talking 100 times in my head. I don't want to miss it. You know, how am I not going to miss your presence? Because nothing's more important. The trees are going to sing out. Because people are afraid of dying. People are afraid. So from the beginning to the middle to the end, God is the same. He's not changing anything. The perfect wood, order of wood. So then I go into the New Testament, and in Matthew 3, it talks, even so, a good tree bringeth forth good fruit. I thought, well, that's amazing. You guys all know that, right? There it is. We have trees in the New Testament that are bringing forth good fruit. We even see some trees that aren't. We see Christ is what? He is the vine, and we are the branches. Oh, no. Wait a minute. Well, now we're starting to see Christ as the source of life, that tree of life in the beginning, right? And which one are you going to look on? You're going to look at that good vine, that good tree. And it even says here, another verse says in Matthew 7:18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. The perfect order of wood. You know, God is not bringing bad fruit. Everything that comes from Him is good fruit. It might not be perfectly as you think things should happen in your life. I stand here as a testimony. I don't even need to tell you. You know some things happened in my life that weren't perfect. Right? But we kept looking to what? The source of life. We kept looking to Christ. Right? And that was the thing. The perfect order of wood. I want to say it 1,000 times because I keep thinking it when I'm doing things. How He arranged stuff. And God, you know, He placed it in order. You know, and as I said, He's no different. The good tree. There's another tree in Luke 19:14. And it talks about Zacchaeus. Is that the right guy, right, that climbs the tree? Yeah, Zacchaeus. So Zacchaeus wants to see Christ, right? He's trying to look at Him, but he can't. There's people around. He can't get to Him. They says he's a rich man, and he's a small man, so he can't see the Lord, right? And so he goes running up a tree, you know, a sycamore tree. And he's up there, and he's sitting there. Here comes Christ walking along, and Christ looks up there and sees this guy hanging out, this guy looking. And he does that, and he says, come on down. We'll go to your house, and we'll hang around. We'll talk. We'll do these things. And while he's at his house, Jesus says to him, right? Jesus said, this day salvation has come to the house, and he is a son of Abraham. And we're going from here. We're back to the Old Testament again. Here's Abraham coming, the whole sons, and he's tied in the perfect order of wood. And what I'm saying to you, are you seeking Christ? Are you looking to the tree of life, right? And this book here I have is getting kind of tore up, is made out of a tree. These pages are made from a tree. You want to seek Christ. You want to look for Him. You feel like people might know more. Let's say Kevin knows more, Lex knows more, or, you know, can't think of his name. If we, you know, they, you might think they know more than you, right? Don't let them block you from getting to the Lord. Get in the Word and get in the tree and seek Him. Seek the Lord. Seek Christ. Get up there. You know what I mean? Get in there. And I'm guaranteeing you, you get in there, you're going to see Christ. Seek Christ. Don't seek a religion of any sort. Just seek the Lord, and therefore, the perfect order of wood will start ringing true in your life. Right? And I'm thinking, man, that's cool. That's really cool. He's even going to meet a guy like me. And that's where, the whole time I'm personal about it. You got to think now, here I am in the woods, swaying, winds blowing. I want to not miss the presence, right? We're stacking wood. Even the scripture says the children will gather wood. Gavin was gathering wood. He's living scripture. And he's bringing it to the fire. You know what I mean? We're right there in the midst. It's not like God's way over there. Here we are. Here's the presence. We're sitting there. Me and my dad sat in that same exact spot. I even told Gavin. Me and my dad sat there and he talked to me about the Lord. And there you go, the perfect order of wood. In my own personal life, being handed down. The tree of life. That's what I'm trying to do. The tree of life. Now we keep looking into the perfect order of wood, right? And then we read in John 19:16. I think I got it right. I might be wrong. Right? And then they delivered him to be crucified. And they took Jesus away and led him. And he, Christ, bearing his own cross. The perfect order of wood. Here's Christ carrying a cross. Here he is, the guy. All this wood. From the third day they started growing trees. You think God didn't know that Christ was going to be crucified? You think this is all by accident? You think it's some kind of great story that people just made up? I hear that kind of stuff. You know, well, how do you know? Well, I know because of what he's done in my heart. And I'm not perfect by any means, but I'm different than I was. You know, and it's because we're seeking him. It's not because I can get you. Don't follow me, man. You'll be all messed up. But I'll tell you who to go to. Like Obed-Edom. When that ark rested in his front yard in the Old Testament, he didn't touch it, did he? Left it rest and people go by and see his yard flourish. Because he wasn't trying to move him around. Let him rest in your heart. Let him rest in your heart. The perfect order of wood. Christ is the tree of life. Right? So he starts doing it. He's bearing his cross. And we even see that they had somebody come along and help him. At first, that's all I read. I didn't find the scriptures that showed Christ carrying it. And I needed to see those because it made more sense than what I'm thinking. And I went, wow, we have the order. Christ is carrying the perfect order of wood, shaped as a cross. Wow, that is cool. So they take him. They crucify him. You guys all know that. And you know what happened, how brutal it was, right? And I want to look at something different right here at this. This is what I want to look at. I'm going quicker than I wanted to, but it's just what I got to do this morning. In John 1:29, right, on that cross, on the perfect order of wood, look how it's shaped, the perfect order of wood. Did you know in the Old Testament that in that tabernacle, the furniture is lined up to the shape of a cross? Have you ever heard that? Yeah. Yeah. That comes from a person who knows way more than I know. That's not mine. I didn't find that one. Somebody told me that just the other day. That stuff in that tabernacle is shaped like a cross. But here's the perfect order of wood. And there's Christ hanging. Nailed, thorns, beaten, tore up. Who are you seeing on that cross? Behold, the Lamb of God. And I started looking at the Christ cross different. I know he was beat for us, but you're looking at the Lamb of God. You're looking at the tree of life on the perfect order of wood. That wood was made. God so loved the world, he gave his only son. He created everything that led to that. Everything. Those trees were planted by God that his own son was hung on. He planted the seeds that started the whole thing. I'm thinking, wow, he loved you that much. He loved me that much. Now I'm crying in the trees because I'm in the presence of the Lord. I'm swaying in there. I'm out there at 11 o'clock at night just thinking, oh man, I'm burning more stuff. Lord, how perfect. You did all that for wicked old Rick. Bad old Patsy. Perfect little Gavin. things we don't deserve. Right? Hanging on that cross, it is, I am the light of the world. Christ is the light of the world. That's who's hanging on that cross. Look at it from an angle of who he is. I know he did that. I'm not knocking that. I'm not saying it's not great that he was sacrificed. What I'm saying, I started looking at, wow, look at all the stuff he is, right? He is the bright and morning star, right? I started looking at the order that he's laid in. Now the order of the wood becomes the order of the cross, the perfect order of that cross. And everything's laid in line of who he was. You know, he hanging on that tree, right? He is the truth and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. Our access to the Father, they're hanging there. The access to God, they're hanging. The light is hanging there, right? Everything, the Lamb of God is hanging there. That's who's on that cross. All those things he is. Don't be confused and think it was just a tree and he took him down and it was over. Look at all they were doing, right? And one thing, and it was, everybody kind of hit on what I was going to share, so it made it easy for me this morning, right? And I'm thinking that, right, the perfect sacrifice is what that cross was all about. Amen. That perfect order of wood became the perfect place for the most perfect sacrifice. The only sacrifice that could take the sins of the world away is Jesus Christ, right? And he did that, right? And then we see him hanging there, and who is he? He's our chief cornerstone. He's our foundation. He is the one that we got to look to. He is the one without. You have nothing. You don't have anything. You couldn't do it. Like I said about being those priests back in the old time, we'd be all messed up. You know, here, oh, take this one. Oh, sorry, man, because you died right away. You know there was a guy put to death in the Old Testament because he gathered sticks on the Sabbath. How about that? Watch out for them sticks, you know what I mean? Because I'm picking up sticks now, remember? Crazy Rick's out in the woods. Oh, wow, there's sticks. Could I get those sticks? Leave them sticks alone. Don't pick them up on the Sabbath. Isn't that good? The Lord forgave. And when Christ came, all that stuff changed. Man, you know what I mean? I know it was a way of keeping us. But God loved you so much. He planned this in advance. He knew this was going to happen. This is not by chance. The foundation of the world. And what I want to say is they were trying to shut the light out. They were trying to shut down the Lamb of God. They were trying to kill the foundation. They were trying to get rid of Christ. Who he was and what he stood for, right? They didn't like that he was all those things. That's what he was. Even the sign above him, the king of Jews, that was done in wood. How about that? The perfect order of wood. It's endless, man. I'm giving you just a piece of the stuff. So they tried to kill that light. Are they trying to kill the light today? Are they trying to shut it out? Right? And so we see that that's what they were trying to do. Can you see Christ as those things on the cross? Do you know him as that? Do you know him as the Lamb of God? Do you know him as your chief cornerstone? Get up in the morning and go, yeah, I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the chief cornerstone. The only way I'm going to get through today is my relationship with him. And this stuff ain't going to scare me. I'm not worried about it. I'm going to do whatever they ask. You know what I mean? I've done some silly stuff. I feel silly wearing the mask, right? But at the same time, I'm cool. That's not what sets me free, that mask or not. I'm free because Christ is the one who hung on the cross, the light of the world, the light they couldn't shut out, the light they never can shut out. They can never stop the light of Christ from shining. I don't care what they do, because we are the church. It's not about this building. It's not about any building. We are the church. So we go on. I'm going to do a couple more things. I'm going to quit. But I want to talk about, there he is hanging, the Lamb of God. And this one guy goes to Pontius Pilate and says, can I take him down? Now you're talking about being in the presence of the Lord. This guy is called a secret disciple. I found that in the scripture, not just out of a book, right? And he's a secret because he comes and he wants to take him down. He said, can I get him? Because he was a Jew that didn't want to be persecuted. So he stayed in the background, but he couldn't stand it no more. So I got to come out. I got to come in. I got to take this guy down. And I'm thinking, he's hanging. I don't know if they took the cross out, laid it down. I can't find anything to tell me how they did it. But he's nailed. Think of the great detail. Now I'm talking the tree of life on the perfect order of cross. They start taking down the fruit of God. They start taking down who he is. the fruit of the Spirit. Think about that. It's the fruit that they're handling. Because Christ, if you read in Galatians 5:22, what's it say? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, kindness, peace, right? It doesn't say fruits. It says fruit. If you want to play on words, we'll do that. And then, but there they are. They're handling Christ. This guy's taking them off. I don't know how they got those nails out. You ever try to pull nails out and sometimes they're hard to get out? You push and pull and you turn. I don't know if they just came right out. I don't know how they did it. I'm not sure. It doesn't matter. They handled him with great care. Here they are taking down the Son of God. Here they are carrying the light of the world. Here they are going to do that, right? And this is what they're doing. They're carrying him around. They're carrying him, right? And it even says that they're close by. There's a garden to lay him in. It was back in the Garden of Eden. Here I go. I'm tied into the New Testament. I'm going back and forth. This thing's linked all the way through. It's not like one God over here in the Old Testament and a different God over here. Christ is linked from the beginning all the way through. Right? So they take him to this garden, to this tomb. Right? And he's laid in this tomb. They lay him in there. Well, like you know, on the third day, boom, here comes the fruit of life. Right? But the whole point is, all of us have that Christ in us. You were an empty tomb. You were just a dead old tomb. You were nothing in your life. You know, you might have been smart, and you might have been brilliant, you might have had a life going on, right? But you didn't have Christ. When did your fruit start changing in your life? When did you start becoming of any kind of real value on the level of earth? You know what I mean? To where you can look at people different. To where you didn't just look, oh man, that Phil, he's from over there somewhere, you know? He's got that accent. I can't have that guy around me. Right? You start learning to like people for who they are. And not necessarily how you think they should be. Because that's the vision that God has. And he looks at you. He loves you at all costs, man. He died on the cross for every one of you. He is the light of the world. They're not going to shut it out. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. Because he is the tree of life. So they handle him with great care. They place him at tomb. Has Christ been placed in your heart? Do you know that? That's what the message needs to be. Do you know him personally? I don't care where you go to church. It's do you know the Savior? Do you know him as the Savior, the key of life? The light of the world. See, and I'm in the woods. I'm doing these things, right? And it's just amazing that I can even see this. I'm not a reader, a scholar. I'm none of those stuff. You guys know that. I'm just Rick Baker. Go bang a few nails, paint a few walls, do a few things. And he's blessed my life. Amen. With knowing I have something that's going to carry me through no matter how bad it gets. No matter how bad it is. Amen. He can wake up and go, yeah, Amen. We can make this. Amen. We can make this happen. No matter what the tragedy, he's still on the throne.
Amen.
Right? And what is it? Have you ever heard this before? He's changed from glory to glory. Being changed in his image. Huh? Heard that my whole life. Right? So we see that's happening. I'm going to do two more little things and I'll stop. I don't want you guys to fall asleep on me. But do you see the perfect order of wood? Do you see where it led? Just from saying the order, the wood has to be placed on a fire and I end up at the cross? From the Old Testament to the New Testament, the perfect order of wood with the absolute perfect, without Christ on that cross. It's wood. And it might be in a perfect order, but it's because of him that makes the cross valuable. Don't get me wrong. Don't think you got to go out and build a piece of wood and make it all nice and neat and make it perfect, right? I even checked the weight and how they made it, you know? But there he is hanging, the perfect. Do you know him as the Lamb of God? Do you know him as the one that's the chief cornerstone? So then we'll go on, and then I got to go into Revelation. I got to just do this. And then we see in Revelations 2:7, he that hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to him that overcometh. Now, overcomer is one who believes in Christ, right? I can get that scripture if we need, but there it is in the New Testament, right? Overcome, I will give to eat of the tree of life. So now we're in Revelations. You get to eat of the tree of life. You get to be partaker of the tree of life. You start eating of what the Lord did, you're going to start producing what? Nothing but good fruit. Nothing but good fruit. Because there's no bad fruit can come out of the good tree. Christ is the tree of life, right? And we see that. And, you know, like in John, I already said that, I am the vine, right? One more scripture. And I'll read this one to you. Revelations 22, 1 and 2. I don't know if they're going to pop it up there or not. And that'll be all I'm going to say this morning. I hope it's clear that you understand what I'm trying to say. And then we'll quit with this. Revelation 22, 1 and 2. That's what I have. And he showed me, a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. See, now when I read that stuff, I got to reread it. Then I got to reread it. Then I got to reread it. Right? In the midst of the street and on either side of the river, there was what? The tree of life, which bear many fruit of each month. Right? There he is in the New Testament. In the paradise of God, it says. Amen. We end up in heaven, in the paradise of God, with the tree of life. Now let me just make this clear here. There's no mention, I don't want to say that. There's no mention that I can find in Revelation or in those last few verses that talks about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You know, in the beginning it says, you will surely die if you eat that. Well, it's gone now. There's only one tree. It's called the tree of life. Right? That's the tree that there is. There's only one tree. No longer is it talked about. Right? That has died away. It might not die right when they ate the fruit, like everybody expects something to happen. Boom, it didn't happen. So it's not going to happen. God didn't punish me right then. Right? But overall, there's no more mention of that tree. I can't find it. Right? Not that you guys have it. If somebody has it, that's fine. But I don't see it. And I only see him mention the tree of life. And who's feeding it again? God has a river flowing down through. Just as in the Garden of Eden, he supplied everything. He supplied everything you need back then, the past, present, and future. He supplies everything. He's no different. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the Lamb of God. He is the one that has the flow coming to you. And if you're grounded and rooted in Christ, you won't miss the Spirit. You'll be able to rock with it. Just like those trees rock. You can rock and know you're rocking and the wind's blowing. And you're going to rejoice at the presence of God. Amen. You won't miss it. And I just think that's where I'm, you know, they can't kill him. I want to say that. They can try to put that light out, but it's not going to happen. Don't be fooled by that nonsense. God is on the throne. Christ is in the presence of God. He's in our presence. He's here with us today. And Lord, we thank you that we could lift up your name. Amen. And we thank you that you were on that perfect order of wood to be the perfect sacrifice that supplies all our needs. We need to look to you. And we thank you for that tree of life. In Christ's name, amen.